In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 18, as Paul contrasts the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the law is variously referred to as the Old Covenant, the letter, the ministry of death, and the ministry of condemnation. Now, if you remember those things, you'll all remember that they all refer to the Mosaic Law. And then the gospel is referred to as the New Covenant, the ministry of the Spirit, and I think Spirit there is the Holy Spirit, and the ministry of righteousness. And you'll see these terms in there, and if you don't remember what they are referring to, you'll find this a rather confusing text. Now, in this chapter, we will see that it is God the Father who has made Paul an able minister of the gospel. Now, the fact is that God the Father can make all of us able ministers of the gospel, just like he did Paul, although we are not going to ever claim to be apostles. We are what God has called us to be. That might not be any more for some of you than a mom or a dad or a friend. I'm a pastor. I've been called to that. As we look at chapter 3, we will see that the gospel is not of the law which kills, but it's of the Holy Spirit who gives life. That's in verse 6. We will see in verse 7 that although the law was so glorious that the Israelites could not look steadily at Moses' face, its glory would fade. By contrast, in verses 8 through 11, we will see that the ministry of the gospel is even more glorious than the ministry of the law had been. We see in verses 12 through 13, which we will wait to deal with until next week, we see that Paul has great openness in proclaiming the gospel. And then we will see that the minds of the Israelites were blinded and remain blinded today when they read the Old Testament scriptures, but this veil is removed when they get saved, verses 15 and 16. And then we see in verses 17 and 18 that the Lord is that Spirit who produces liberty. And as believers with unveiled faces look into the scriptures, the Holy Spirit changes them into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another, gradually making them more and more Christ-like in this lifetime. Going back to verse number 6, we see that the gospel is not of the law, but is of the Holy Spirit, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In verse 6, Paul states that God the Father has made him an able servant of the New Testament or covenant, that is, an able servant of the gospel. Who refers to God the Father also introduces something God has done with Paul in addition to calling him into his ministry and sending him on this missionary trip to Corinth. Hath made us able, where us refers to Paul, is made us sufficient or qualified us. This occurred in the past, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Now, just as God enabled Paul or qualified Paul to be a minister, a servant of the gospel, he will enable us as well. But this text is speaking about Paul, not about us, all right? So we understand just because Paul is referred to as us does not mean the same truth does not apply to others today. Ministers are servants. It's the same word translated deacons in other contexts. Of the New Testament, indicates what Paul is serving and is used in contrast to the Old Covenant. The New Testament, or the New Covenant, refers to the gospel message. Paul's reference to himself as a minister of the New Covenant suggests that the false apostles were Judaizers, that is, ministers of the Old Covenant, or servants of the law. The New Testament is described in this passage as the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit, and the ministry of righteousness. Once again, you've got a bunch of terms that if you don't know what they mean, you're going to struggle to comprehend the rest of the passage. By contrast, the Old Covenant is the law, and it's variously referred to in this passage as the Old Covenant, the letter, the ministry of death, and the ministry of condemnation. Not of the letter indicates that Paul is not a minister of the law. He's not serving the law. The law had been completed when Christ died on the cross. He was the end of the law for all believers. Of the Spirit is referring to the Holy Spirit. This is a contrast, but is introducing a strong contrast to not of the letter. And of the Spirit is referring to the Holy Spirit who works in and through the gospel of the grace of God. This indicates that God has made Paul a qualified minister of the gospel message. Once again, Paul's statement hints that the false apostles were ministers of the law, meaning the Old Covenant. And again, this suggests that they were Judaizers who had come in to insist that people keep the law in order to be saved. Four clarifies the previous statement. It's used in the sense of "you see" or "now." The letter refers to the law. The letter killeth means that the law kills. It's understood in the sense of the letter of the law causes a person to die. This is because the Bible teaches that the soul that sinneth, it must die. When a person violates the law of God, he becomes subject to spiritual death in the lake of fire. Where, unless he trusts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he will spend eternity suffering for his sins. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to the law killeth. It is, the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit's the Holy Spirit who works in and through the gospel of the grace of God, the good news that Christ died on the cross, paying for the sins of the whole world, that he was buried and that he rose again from the dead on the third day. Giveth life is makes alive, in that the Holy Spirit uses the gospel message to produce eternal life in the believer. We see in John 3:14-16, verses you're familiar with, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, meaning crucified, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the tense of killeth and the tense of giveth life indicate timeless truths, things which are true at all times, under all circumstances. We see in verse 7 that the glory of the law will fade. Verse 7 says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Verse 7 in the text is the condition of a conditional statement. And verse 8 is the conclusion of this conditional statement. The structure of the condition in the Greek text indicates that for sake of discussion, it is assumed to be true. But it is not only assumed to be true, it actually is true. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to what Paul has written in verse 6. Inasmuch as this condition is actually true, if should be understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, refers to the law of Moses. The ministration, which is the service or the ministry, appears four times in verses 7 through 9. The ministration of death in verse 7 and the ministration of condemnation in verse 9 refer to the law. The ministration of the Spirit in verse 8 and the ministration of righteousness in verse 9 refer to the gospel message. Of death indicates that the ministry of the law produces death. The law shows that men are sinners and deserving of death in order to pay for their own sins. Romans 7, 7 through 11. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived. It sprang to life, and I died. You see, that's the old sin nature. He didn't know he had one, but he did. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. When you violate the law, death is the result, spiritual death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. As we go back into 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the ministry of death, written and engraven in stones, is the ministry of death in letters or engraven in stones. It's referring to the Mosaic law. The word translated written was translated letter twice in verse 6. Here it means in letters. Engraven means carved or impressed. These letters were carved or engraven in the two stones in the past, and they remained carved in the stones as long as the stones existed. In stones is reminiscent of the two tablets of stone in which the law was given to Moses and later replaced after he smashed them. And the tense of was indicating that action that took place in the past. It indicates that something changed or happened which had not been true previously. And it's understood in the sense of became. It became glorious, which is indicating a state of being. The ministry of death carved in letters in stones was or became glorious. It means that the Mosaic law was or became glorious. Glory indicates a condition of being bright or shining. It's understood in the sense of brightness, splendor, or radiance. And when Moses met with God, his face became bright, shining, radiant, or glorious. My grandmother used to like to put powder on her nose so it wouldn't be shiny. I don't suppose any of you ladies are mature enough to have remembered that. She would be probably 135 or 140 by today, so it's been a few years. She was the one who taught Sunday school at 93 and lived to be 95 and had a good influence on my life, in my spiritual life. So that is understood in the sense of the result that the children of Israel, the Israelites, could not steadfastly behold. It means they were not able to look intently at or stare at his countenance, which means his face. It was so bright and shiny, they couldn't look at it. Apparently it upset them. So he put a veil over his face so that he could then talk with them. But notice, which glory was to be done away? It restricts or limits the meaning of glory to the particular glory being done away, meaning to the process, to the glory in the process of being abolished, of being wiped out or being set aside or being removed. The glory, the brightness, the splendor or radiance of Moses' face was fading. It was only temporary. In verses 11, 8 through 11, we see that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is even more glorious than the ministry of the law. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Kind of hard to comprehend all that terminology in there, but we'll go through it, see if we can't make a little more sense out of it so everybody can understand it. Verse 7, whereas it's the condition in the conditional statement, verse 8 is the conclusion. Inasmuch as the condition is true, the conclusion will also be true. The ministry of the Spirit will be more glorious than the ministry of death. It means that the gospel message will be more glorious than the law has been. And it is. How? In what way? Shall not be indicates that something will be. The ministration is the service or the ministry. The ministration of the Spirit is the ministry of the Holy Spirit who works in and through the gospel message as it is proclaimed. I'm afraid there's too much preaching, even in some of our independent Baptist churches, where there is manipulation, where there is pressure tactics. We can make people get saved if we just tell the right stories with the right words. No, if the Holy Spirit doesn't bring conviction, that person's not going to get saved. And we understand that. We've got to do it God's way. It's not a psychological venture that the preacher is supposed to be on. It's not from the stories he tells. It's not from the skyscraper sermons he has. Glorious was previously used in verse 7, indicating a state of being. It refers to a condition of being bright or shining. It's understood in the sense of brightness, splendor, or radiance. Although the ministry of death, carved in stones, was glorious, the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the gospel is even more glorious. Verse 9, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, if you have forgotten what the ministration of condemnation is, or what the ministration of righteousness is, you're going to be lost at this point. You have to go back and figure it out. Verse 9 is confirming the thought expressed in verses 7 and 8, but using different words. Verse 9 is a conditional statement. The condition is, if the ministration of condemnation be glory, and the conclusion is, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. The structure of the condition in the Greek text indicates that for sake of discussion, it is assumed to be true. And it's not only assumed to be true, it actually is true. For is introducing a cause or reason and is understood in the sense of because. It is used in the same sense in verses 10 and 11, which introduce additional confirmations of verses 7 and 8. If introduces the conditional statement, inasmuch as the conditional statement is not only assumed to be true, but is in fact true, if may be understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that, the ministration of condemnation refers to the law, Mosaic law. It is the ministration, the service, or the ministry which produces condemnation. Condemnation is a judicial verdict which demands a death penalty. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No death sentence. We're past that. We got saved. Failure to keep the law produces condemnation. Everyone will fail to keep it, though, because no one can keep the law. Inasmuch as everyone has an old sin nature, no one will ever keep the law perfectly throughout his entire lifetime. And when he fails to keep the law perfectly just one time in his entire life, he will find himself under the law's condemnation or death sentence. And unless he receives God's forgiveness for his sins, he will ultimately pay the penalty for his own sins in hell, Gehenna, the lake of fire. The word translated glory is used 8 times in verses 7 through 11 and is supplied by the translators one additional time. 4 times it's translated glory. 4 times it's translated glorious. Its verb form is used 2 times in verse 10 where it was translated, was made glorious or had glory. We read in 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 11, but if the ministration, meaning the service or ministry of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration, meaning the service or the ministry of the Spirit, be rather glorious? For if the ministration, meaning the service or the ministry of condemnation, be glory, much more doth the ministration, meaning the service or the ministry of righteousness, exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that remaineth, that which remaineth is glorious. Now we've already seen that glory indicates a condition of being bright or shining, and it's understood in the sense of brightness, splendor, or radiance. Much is by how much, and shows a degree of difference between the ministration, service, or ministry of condemnation, meaning the ministry or service of the law. It shows a degree of difference between that and the ministration, service, or ministry of righteousness. In other words, of the gospel message. More is all the more. More surely or more certainly, and the combination of much and more is understood as by how much more surely or by how much more certainly doth exceed is simply is extremely rich or is extremely abundant. The ministration of righteousness refers to the gospel message. It is the ministration, the ministry, the service which produces righteousness. God declares that the one who trusts Christ as his Savior is righteous. He declares him to be righteous and forever afterward treats him as righteous. And that's wherein you and I stand. If we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we have been declared righteous by God, and we have a sinless nature from then on that is righteous, perfectly righteous, sinless. Unfortunately, we still have that old sin nature too, and that gives us fits, doesn't it? In glory. Suggests in brightness, in splendor, or in radiance. No matter how glorious the ministry of the law was, and it was glorious, the ministry of proclaiming the gospel is even more glorious. And that's where we are. 2 Corinthians 3:10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Verse 10 is providing a second confirmation of the thoughts expressed in verses 7 and 8. When the glory of the law is compared with the glory of the gospel, the glory of the law is not glorious at all. 4 introduces a cause or reason. It's understood in the sense of because. It's used in the same sense in verses 9 and 11, which introduce additional confirmations of verses 7 and 8. Even is slightly emphatic, but it might instead be understood in a more emphatic way as indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. That which was made glorious functions as the subject of had glory, and its reference is to the law. That which was made glorious is what caused, or is what was caused to have splendid greatness, what was clothed in splendor, or what was glorified. Its time of action occurred in the past, and its result has continued until the time Paul was writing 2 Corinthians. It means that the law had glory. It represents a state of being which began when the law was given on Mount Sinai, and continued until Christ became the end of the law for all who believed. But had no glory is has no glory, has no splendid greatness, or has no clothing in splendor in this respect, where the content of this is by reason of the glory that excelleth. It means in this case or in this matter. By reason of indicates the cause or reason for something. It's understood in the sense of because of or on account of. The glory that excelleth is the surpassing, the extraordinary or the outstanding glory. It means that the glory of the gospel far surpasses the glory of the law. And then we come to verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Verse 11 provides a third confirmation of the thoughts expressed in verses 7 through 8. When the glory of the law fades away, the glory of the gospel remains. 4 introduces a cause or reason, again, understood in the sense of because. It's used in the same sense in verses 9 and 10, which introduce additional confirmations of verses 7 through 8. Verse 11 is in the form of a conditional statement. Its structure indicates that for sake of discussion, it is assumed to be true, and it actually is true. With the result, as I've said two or three other times tonight, if may be understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that. The condition is, if that which is done away was glorious, and it was. That which is done away was referring to the law. It is literally what is being done away, what is ceasing, or what is passing away, or what is transitory. In verse 14, the same word is translated, that which is abolished. As indicated by the italics, was, has been supplied by the translators to aid the understanding of the English reader. Glorious refers to a state of being. Glory indicates a condition of being bright or shining. It's understood in the sense of brightness, splendor, or radiance. That which was glorious, much more, by how much more, all the more surely, more certainly, and is indicating a degree of difference between what is passing away and what is remaining. That which remains is the gospel, and it is the thing which is continuing. It is glorious, splendorous, radiant. Although the ministry of the law in the Old Testament was glorious, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the gospel message is far more glorious. We as believers are no longer under the law, because Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes the gospel message. Now I look at that clock up there and I say to myself, don't get used to it. Okay, if I had taken the whole passage, it would be another half hour or more, and I don't think you want to sit there. This is a complicated passage because of the vocabulary. It's comparing the law with the gospel. We are happy not to be living under the law, but happy to be living under the gospel. Let's pray together. And then we'll sing our closing hymn. Like I said, don't get used to it, all right? Just a word of advice. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity of studying this passage. You wrote it. You know that it's not the easiest passage for us to comprehend, but help us to do that. And help us to comprehend all the rest of the difficult as well as the more easy passages as well, as we study your word and seek to grow and mature as believers. In Jesus' name. Amen.